Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America and English.
Oh, what a strike, Club America!
Your hosts for today are Ivan Pineda, Cristian Rosendo, Alexis Juarez, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez.
Go!
Now let's hit the field and start the show.
America, America, America.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Eagle Podcast. It's been like the hiatus from us, but the off-season is over. What's going on?
Yeah, that mic is going to be a problem, son.
Oh, God. Is I still echoing?
Yes, if you want, you can go out. I think AJ got it from here. You know, people want to see AJ instead. They don't want to see you, so. All right. AJ, we're back, baby.
It's finally back. The Eagle Eye Podcast is back, and what a fair way to start things off with preseason. And I'm excited because it's been a while since I last watched America and cannot wait to see the boys in blue and yellow back in action again. How about you, Christian?
No, seriously, I'm excited. Every single day, I'm just counting down the days till we get to see our beloved America again. It's a feeling that I don't think I've had in a while. It's just, I think Solari just instilled like this kind of determination, just this new hunger in this America team, which makes me more excited as a fan to just keep watching them play and watch them grow as a team. And well, if we're going to make any preseason or before season predictions, this could be the year that we take it all the way. But I think that, you know, as a buildup of the season goes on, I think we'll explain why. I feel like I think that this is a good chance we have this season to kind of take it all. Got to do with a lot of things, but ultimately I think it has to do with just Solari's kind of determination to bring a chip back home to America with the piece that he's given. We saw what we could do last year, and then I think me and you can agree that this squad is more improved than last year's. So that just makes me all that more excited.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, because just we want that elusive 14 title. It's been a while. We haven't won this since 2018. We, from time and time again, we get closer and closer, but it's just like we're just missing something. And I feel like this could actually be the season where I feel like with the signs that we make, if we happen to get more signs later on, this could be the season where Solari puts all the pieces together and he's like, let's go for it. He even said it before at the end of last season. Next season, we're going for that title. And that's what every America fan wants to hear.
Of course, definitely. But Ivan, are you back or are you back?
Well, let's see. I don't know. Is my auto-tune still on? Or?
can you restart your PC and then come back?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do that. Am I still echoing?
Yes, please. Yes. No, you're not echoing. You're just like repeating your words.
Oh, like a reverb.
Like we hear you the first time. We don't want to hear you again.
All right. Okay. You guys keep it going.
Just leave. Thank you.
All right.
Anyways, back to what we were saying. But no, definitely. Yeah. But before we get into any of that, though, we still have a whole preseason to go to. We still have a couple more signings to make. Maybe a few more departures to be announced. But just right off the bat, we've seen a lot of departures right now currently in America. Which has been your biggest, I guess, surprise in terms of those departures?
The biggest surprise, I'm going to be real with you, it's been quite some time since I last remembered to who even left that America. But just some that I know, just some of the looks, just one thing I'm scratching my head about, I don't know, it's Adam Medina. I know no one doesn't really care about this. It's the thing. This is the guy we've been chasing for the entire time for Toluca. They gave him the price tag, and they're like, we're not paying for that price tag. We asked for a loan. We end up getting him, just never really made much of an impact on the team. He did score one goal in about six games, then left. If I can think of another player, I mean, I feel like everyone was predicting it was going to happen. I feel it was Giovanni Dos Santos. Every Americanista, we look like clowns to be, honestly, and just feel like, yeah, he could definitely revive his career in America. That just never happened, really. Just never seemed to get a rhythm going. Andrews also played them, and they just said when he's playing, it's just that explosive. We once saw Andrew Ryan Dos Santos was just gone completely.
No, definitely. And it seemed like most of these departures, well, I guess I would say about 90% of them were kind of needed, you know? There are players who, you know, didn't really contribute anything, you know, to an extent. Giovanni didn't really do much. Sergio Diaz, another one who kind of really just came in, never really got a chance to, you know, do his thing. Never was counted by Piojo. Solari didn't even, you know, bat an eye on him. Alan Medina, like you said, it's strange because we, like you said, we went through so much just to get him. We got him. We don't use him. And then the very next season, he's gone. It's a little bit of backward negotiations there. I don't really know what was going through the head of the board when going through this process. Hopefully they don't do things like that ever again, because it's just kind of wasting, you know, spots. It's wasting the player's career. You know, we don't want to see that, right? If you were just going to do that, you might as well just bring up someone from the cantera. Hopefully they can get mm-hmm. in a couple games here and there, right? But definitely, I know me and you kind of went back and forth on this on Twitter, so we'll just talk about it right now. Ramon Juarez, this is something that you felt that should have never happened. You felt like this was going to be a repeat of Jared Ortega. Can you just elaborate a little bit more why you think it might be like that?
It's just the thing that when he first was put onto the America squad, just to play, we saw something in him. You know, he's young, he's tall. It feels like he has some qualities that we saw in Ortega. We even talked about partnership before at one point. You can maybe see a Jared Ortega and Ramon Juarez partnership maybe at some point in the future. It could be the future in defense for America. That just never seemed to come to fruition. Well, we didn't have Ortega, but Ramon Juarez in this case, there's times we criticized them a lot, but we have to remember, I think when it was Bruno Valdez was gone, he would be alongside with Emma, and he seemed to just do well. But then there's just times he makes little defensive errors or big defensive errors in this case, and just everyone had to make just like, we don't want him anymore. We want Bruno back. And I just felt like because of that, I don't know what to expect. You're having a youngster who's only playing for Sebastián. He never really made a deep in the Copa MX. Don't even think he's played in any preseason games. One of those is like, you're throwing him in to see what happens. Hope that he can do his very best in the league games. If it doesn't happen, doesn't happen. If he gets good games. Just, I don't understand why when every America fan is wanting defenders and we just loaning him out to other teams. I don't understand that.
No, definitely. I definitely understand where you're coming from. But I don't know. It just seemed like the majority of the fan base, like, they knew that Ramon Juarez was an okay player. Mm-hmm. We're not going to say that he deserved to start, because he didn't. Let's be honest. He didn't deserve to start over the three that we have. I don't think he deserved to start over any of them. But definitely, though, I definitely agree with you. You know, it seems like we're just kind of giving out these players who may have something to bring in the future. But hopefully we don't really kind of make those mistakes with some of the more promising youngsters. I don't think we will, but you never know with Baños in this board, right? So, you know, definitely, I still think we're going to see more departures coming. If there's one more departure you would think is needed, who would it be?
I fancy we're going to have it's going to be Renato Ibarra, because I just feel like he just doesn't have a spot on this team as much as people do want to come back, especially after the controversy that happened back then. It's one of those things that he doesn't want to be on the team. We already heard rumors already that Baños is looking into his ability to try to find a spot for Renato Ibarra. As good as he was during his time in America, where you're seeing him running up that right-hand side, just going for crosses every single time, I feel like in Solari, he's not going to be a part of the plans, because we're seeing that how Solari's game plan is. I feel like it's nothing that we have done in the past with Piojo, where it's just give the ball down the wings of the left or the right, cross it, see what happens. Solari, he sees it otherwise. I feel like Renato Ibarra just definitely doesn't have his spot on his team secured anymore.
No, definitely. And I don't think we'll ever see him again in the Club America shirt unless Baños and the whole board just decides to, you know, just go away somehow and making all of us very, very, very happy. But who knows? Maybe he'll come up with a big Bomba signing in the summer. Hopefully, maybe. I don't think probable, but you never know. I mean, Solari was a big surprise to us, wasn't it?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I remember just everyone just thinking about who is our manager going to be. I remember we were going to have, like, what, Sergio Bueno. And at that point, I'm just like, no. I don't even know who this guy even is at all. Yeah, and Memo Vasquez as well. I'm just like, oh, God. But then, look, what happens? So who knows? Maybe I'm just probably just looking at everyone on Twitter, seeing how mad he's like, don't worry, I got you guys. I'll come with the signing soon. Just be patient. But
listen, this is a question we also going to have to bring up in 6 months. And knock on wood, hopefully, you know, we do win the title, but in case that we don't, you know, maybe there could be a conversation sparking up in December about Baños' position. Nothing concrete, but he's definitely in the hot seat right now. That's all I think we have on that topic. But just know that I think it's necessary for him, not necessarily bring a Bomba this summer, but definitely bring in someone that the fan base is okay with, you know, because out of everyone that came, I don't think anyone is 100% on board with every single signing we've made so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about them. Fernando Madrigal, what do you think about him?
I think of him as an Emilio Sanchez. In this case, he's just short, but he does provide with the more Liga MX experience. Because remember, Emilio Sanchez, while at Canterán, we've mostly seen him on loan in teams that have either played in the Ascenso. He never really got to play in the league completely. I mean, the closest thing he guess he had was at América from last season in Cholos. But it's just one of those players where I'm just like, you know, it's good. He's got the experience. He played a lot for Querétaro in the past two seasons, around 35 games or so. He can play as a center defensive mid and a center midfielder as well. So, you know, we can see a pairing with Richard Sanchez. We got Santi Naveda there too, and that can play as a CDM, and then you can put Maria and CM. You know, many people wonder why we get him. My sole reason, it's probably for that experience, really, from something that Emilio Sanchez is bringing. While he showed something, I guess, but just he's not that same kid he once was when he was just in America. So it's time to go. For Madrigal, though, decent signing, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's one of those kind of filler signings because people have to understand, you know, with a good starting 11, you always need a good bench. You know, mm-hmm. for whatever the case, an injury or fatigue or just plain rotations, it's always good to have people on the bench that you can rely on and that you know when you put them in, they're not going to be fazed by the situation and they're always going to give 110%. No matter what, no matter situation, no matter the place they're put in, they're always going to give it their all. And I think last season is a little bit different because you only could rely on maybe two or three players who can give you that and who can come off the bench and give you great impact. I think that's the main focus this year too. I'm not saying that maybe that Solari asked for these players because, you know, I honestly don't think that he kind of had his eye on Madrigal. But, you know, like you said, though, he's definitely an upgrade from some of the players that we had last season. He's definitely better than Sergio Diaz, than mm-hmm. Emilio Sanchez, you know? So in that aspect, I think I agree with it. But just at that, though. Now, let's see if he can prove himself in preseason right now and maybe in a couple games that he's given throughout the season. Because if he wants to, you know, get Solari's attention, I think the preseason is where he's going to have to do it. Ivan, are you back or no?
Well, let's see. Am I still good or am I not good?
No, you're good now.
You're good now.
Good? Good?
Yeah. Yes, you're good. Right. Did you change scenery?
I changed computers.
Oh, okay.
All right, that's why the angle, everything, it's off. But, well, first of all, I want to extend an apology to everyone that was listening to that echo. Obviously, it wasn't my greatest hits in regards to that aspect. I do apologize for that. We've had technical difficulties in the past, and I think we're going to continue to have technical difficulties. I've always said it before. This is the technical difficulty show. So I do apologize for all that. But, gentlemen, fill me in on to what you guys were talking about.
So we started the show off with departures. We talked about, you know, who we thought was the biggest surprise and who we just overall, we kind of felt that the departures were kind of necessary. Players like Giovanni and Sergio Diaz. And then, you know, it's kind of scratching our heads with kind of the departure of Ramon Juarez. Just your quick thoughts, I guess, on it.
I'll start off with the Juarez thing. I think it's a little bit premature of America to let go of such a young, talented player. I know that he's had his difficulties in the past, but it was always going to be a difficult task to be going up against the likes of, you know, LAFC or, you know, some of these other teams that he had to face off. Not just, you know, not just on his own. Obviously, he had Cáceres next to him, but there wasn't a real actual leader in that center-back partnership. So it was always going to be a difficult ask. I thought he had some pretty good moments. AJ, I know you rated him very highly, and I'm sure you spoke well of him. Your boy, Mr. AKA Paolo Maldini in the flesh. Mm-hmm. But, if this is a loan move, which it is, unfortunately, it does have that option to buy tag. I think that it could do him well. I think if he can go get a couple minutes under his belt, play some pretty good games, and if America does things right, then I think, you know, hopefully they don't, you know, go through the option to buy him and he can come in and cement himself as a potential starter. As far as the players that have left, I think you guys mentioned it, right? Sergio Diaz is a player that just was completely just a waste of money. Let's put it at that terms. It was a waste of money. It was a waste of an international slot. It was very much very panicky, which we've seen time and time again. This institution, this you know, the board that is in charge right now, making these kind of decisions that just don't pan out in the end. Everyone came thinking, oh, Mr. X Real Madrid, he's going to come in and he's going to save the day. And just, I don't know if this was a Piojo option. Yeah, you feel like if this wasn't a Piojo buy, he would try to give more minutes to him. I know that he did come into the season and then, like, right away, boom, got injured. Which, I mean, we can all speculate at that point what was going on, but we knew that Mr. Jibber was out there doing his thing. You know, so it was a shame to waste money like that. And then, of course, the big one being Giovanni Dos Santos. I think AJ said it, right? We all kind of looked like fools thinking that he was going to be able to, you know, revitalize his career under an America jersey, which at one point maybe he was going to. I think the big if with Giovanni Dos Santos is always going to be that game against Guadalajara at the Estadio Azteca when he does get that nasty injury, gets that, you know, punch hole in his leg. And things just weren't the same for Giovanni Santos afterwards, right? And not to say that he wasn't a key player anymore or that he wouldn't come in and do a job. I mean, you guys have to remember the Liguilla where we face off against Tigres, he gets a goal in, you know? He's moving things around for us. Like, he was up and for it. And then afterwards, I'm reading some of the comments here.
Jibber's our thing. Like we kind of made that our thing. Yeah,
it definitely is. Mr. Jibber, if you're listening to this, I hope you get to injure G-Neck somehow.
Yes.
And then just afterwards, just the constant injury after injury after injury, where you just felt it was a never ending process for Gio. And unfortunately, you know, he just never really lived up to the, you know, to the hype. Which is quite unfortunate, right? Because his dad did some pretty important things with an America jersey, and you thought, you know, like father, like son, but it's just one of those things where, again, he just falls flat a little bit. But on the bright side, that's a huge contract that we get off our backs, and that I'm sure we're using very well to pay Mr. Layun's contract. So we'll see what happens with that. I wish we would have the numbers physically. Love to go through them. I know Layun's not making Giovanni Dos Santos numbers. He's not. But you're not going to tell me that, you know, he's not coming into America on a pretty big salary. You know? We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, no, I mean, as far as departures go, it, you know, kind of is what it is, and we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, I think the big news has been that America has let go of so much Mexican, brought in a couple Mexicans. There's no player.
All Mexican.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No international spot has freed up other than the Sergio fact Diaz. That Sergio Diaz left. But even then, since we lose an international slot to this season, it just means
it kind of cancels out.
It kind of cancels out. And we're still over, I believe, two players, if I'm not mistaken. Because Renato Barra's back.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay, right. We over two,
Technically, he's back. He's not with the team. He's not reported. He's not in preseason.
Yeah. But he's back,
He's back on the books.
On the books, he's back.
He never left. Let's just face that. He never left. We kept playing his salary. That's so dumb.
Half of it.
I'm sure we're paying more than half. We were paying more than half. It was like a 75-25 here.
Damn, we got some terrible business. But anyways, though, that was that, though. That was the departure. And then we just started talking about the arrivals. We talked about Madrigal. So quick thoughts on Madrigal.
You know, I see a lot of people kind of divided on the Madrigal situation, right? Some people saying, what's this 30-year-old plus washed Mexican guy doing in an America jersey? What's another people are saying, you know what? He's had himself quite the season with
Querétaro.
With Querétaro, so why wouldn't you give him the benefit of the doubt? I've always said that América has lacked a Joe Corona type of player. Someone that isn't necessarily a starter, someone that could come off the bench and do a good job, and when needed, can play as a starter and could potentially do a good job. I think when you look back at that last season where we won the title, Joe Corona was kind of an essential player that no one kind of really gave praises for. You go back and you look at the games that he came into, he did a good job. He held the midfield. He did his job in helping out Guido Rodriguez. And then you saw games where he needed to start because of international duty, because of injuries, and he did stuff well. And if Fernando Madrigal can come in and do that job, I think it's exactly what America needs at this point. We all thought also Gonzalez was going to be that player. Clearly was not. Santi Naveda, can he do that job? Of course, but I think his role is more of kind of like a Pedro Aquino-esque. Definitely. where he likes to be a little bit more deep line in the midfield. And I think Madrigal can add a little bit of something to it, right? Refresh some of the legs, refresh some of the, you know, Richard Sanchez if he needs to get a little bit of a break during the game, or, you know, rotations and whatnot. But I think he's a welcome addition until we see otherwise.
Right, definitely. No, definitely. I agree with you. Like I was saying before you jumped in, you know, we need people like that on the bench, you know, people that we can rely on, people that, when needed in any situation, we'll go in, give 110, and do a good job. You know, anyone can give 110 when we're in the America, sure, but, you know, unfortunately, you're playing for America, so you have to do well as well. You know, you can't just go in and give your effort, right? The club doesn't work like that when you're wearing the America jersey. It's definitely an upgrade from the bench options that we had last year. So, at least some of them. So, the next player we're going to talk about was, obviously, you said earlier, Miguel Layún. This is definitely caught everyone by surprise. No one saw this coming. Literally happened in the span of 5 minutes that someone reported it and it became official. Literally in that 5 minute span. So AJ, thoughts on Miguel Layún?
Man, I like the guy, but at the same time, like, do we really have to get him though? But at the same time, understand why, because we ain't got no one to back up Jorge Sanchez, so you're definitely trying to put Brian Colula in there again because you see how he played against Toluca. We don't want that. What I think of this, man, we're broke. We're trying to sell some of those jerseys for Layún so we can, you know, get that fichazo bombazo that everyone's waiting for. But, you know, it's nice. Todo el disculpa de Layún. He scored 4 goals against Oswaldo Sanchez, made that man retire for good. So there's that. He scored the penalty that gave us the 2013 title. So, you know, it's nice to see him back. But at the same time, how we perform, only time will tell.
Interesting here. Chris Rivera saying, AJ doesn't like a player. Did I hear that right? What is this world? Welcome to the new age of the Eagle Eye podcast. You know what? It's interesting, AJ. You mentioned something where you said, well, let's bring in Layún, let's sell those jerseys. But how many people are buying Miguel Layún jerseys? Let me just say that off the bat. Also, who's ever buying a new jersey right now with a name and a player's name and a number? I would hold off on that. Because there's maybe only 3 or 4 players that for sure are staying and that are for sure going to keep their number. That's probably Ochoa.
Speaking of that, I was looking at the numbers.
You don't know if he's getting the 8 or if he's getting the 10.
No, he got the 8 already.
Oh, wait, yeah, that's right. They put out the video.
He got the 8 already.
Which, by the way, I was right.
Yes, I know you were right, but I'm going to call them right now and tell them to switch it because he needs the 10 on it. But that's a whole different discussion.
Deserve the 10.
Okay, whatever. AJ, you were saying?
I was just looking at the numbers and, like, there's only a couple of them that are available. I mean, one that I find that's strange for a number. Wait, no, Layún did wear the number 29, right? Did he? When he was at America, it was a different number. It was the 19. I think that 21st.
He wore 19. I can't remember the first number he wore.
He wore 19 with America.
He's got 29. It's interesting, though. He's got 29. And then on jersey, they also have for an option, which, interesting enough, Fernando Madrigal, you could put his number on your Club America jersey. Well,
what numbers he got?
He's number 6.
Sergio Diaz.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Look, as far as Miguel Layún, the topic of conversation is always going to be, did he come at the right time or did we get him at the wrong time? Because I think the right time to bring him was when we first got linked to him on his way, when he first joined Rayados, when people said he was going to come to America. Mm-hmm. I think that was the proper time to bring in Layún. I don't know now. He's on the wrong side of 30. He didn't get much minutes in Monterrey. He lost his starting position. I mean, lost his Mexican national team spot as well. Don't get me wrong. Is he still a good, credible player? I believe so. But does he bring experience and leadership? Yes. But is he better than George Sanchez? I don't think he is.
No, he's not. But that's the only reason why they brought him. You just said it, leadership and experience. You look up front and you mainly only have Henry Martin there. Other than that, though, in that front three, who really do you have that's experienced? No, Suarez isn't really experienced. I mean, you have Linus, but Linus is Linus, though, you know?
Yeah, Linus is a bit of an oddball, isn't he?
That's what I'm saying. And I think that the kind of thing I think Suarez was looking for was more of that experience in the locker room. And Layún definitely brings that. There's no one can question that. Will he ever be a starter?
Potentially.
No, I don't know. I can't say no right off the bat because he was brought in for a reason. And they made sure to emphasize that Solari gave the green light for it, which means that he has a plan for him.
I think the reason why you bring in Layún, not because of what we just mentioned, but because he's such a Swiss Army knife on the pitch. Play right back, play left back, play center mid, play left mid, he played right mid. Like, the man could be all over the pitch. Like, you can put him, up top if you want to.
And he'll find
Please don't.
Yes, never. But I think you have to realize that that's something I'm guessing Solari really caught eye to and said, you know what? This guy fills gaps where most players wouldn't. And I think that's why you bring in someone like that. And I think Chris Rivera puts it perfectly. He says, don't get your hopes up on Layún. He's going to be kind of more of an Arroyo player. Second half player comes on long distance, free kicks, whatever the case may be. That might be Miguel Layún's role, which I'm a little hesitant to kind of accept because I don't know if Layún would have signed on, 2 years? 2 years. Just to kind of sit on the bench? But who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows, right? I mean, we don't know the details of this contract, and we can only speculate at this point until the season has unfolded. We don't understand what Miguel Layún's role is. We're going to see maybe glimpses of it here in the next couple of weeks when America plays their friendlies here in the United States. But, I mean, we'll have to see. Actually, Chris Rivera is saying it's a one-year deal with another option to buy a second year. So technically it's 2 years.
But I don't know. You see that interview with Layún? I don't know. It seems like he's very motivated to be back. You know, he cries, right? He makes sure to emphasize he took the largest pay cut in his career just to be with America. Like, that pay cut was astronomical. That's what he wants you to think. Or that's what he's saying.
I don't believe it.
I mean, that's, I guess, everyone's to their own opinion. Everyone's to their own opinion.
Less money? I'm sure he is.
But that, to me, catches my attention just because he took the pay cut just to wear the America shirt again.
And you're right. That's something that we have to kind of applaud for. Because how many times have we mentioned that we want players that feel for the club, that feel for the jersey, and play for the jersey?
Right, definitely. And also, the thing that Chris said about being a second-half player, that's not a bad idea. A lot of people, you know, made Jorge Sanchez not as good as he is because Leo Suarez never tracked back. He never helped out Jorge Sanchez. It was always Linus helping out Fuentes, and maybe that's why Fuentes's, I guess, blemishes weren't as, you know, as exaggerated like Jorge Sanchez's were. I think with Layún, if you bring him on second half on that right side, that's another body coming down whenever, we have a counterattack going against us, or maybe Jorge Sanchez is too pushed up and Layún can kind of just backtrack, you know? I think Solari has a plan for Layún. I think it's going to work. But like everyone says, the only time will tell. And like you said, Ivan, we're going to see glimpses of it during the preseason.
And quite the preseason we're going to have. We'll talk a little bit more about it later on. We'll get you guys caught up in the first game that's going to happen in the beautiful city of Salt Lake.
We have one more arrival to go out.
Yeah.
Salvador Reyes.
But, I mean, obviously, this Layún thing is not going to die down right away. I think everyone's going to be talking about it. And the reality of it is he won't be judged as highly as Giovanni Dos Santos. But I believe he should because of the declarations he made. because of his so-called, you know, pay cut coming to America. He says he feels for the jersey. And I get that. He's not a canterano, but he spent a good chunk of his career here. And he made a name for himself in an America jersey. So I would see why he feels devoted to this institution. Definitely. I just want to see him come and kind of demonstrate what he said on that video on the pitch. And when you said, time will only tell on that aspect. But Miguel Ayun, obviously out of the blue, but very much welcoming at times when you think about it. It says, okay, someone that understands it, that knows it, and hopefully can provide that little extra oomph when it comes down to it in the season.
Definitely.
All right, so we got one more arrival to talk about, and it's probably the one player that a lot of us were kind of really much kind of eyeing as this is probably the best signing we've had so far in the offseason. And that is none other than Salvador Reyes, ex-Puebla player, left back. What are you guys' thoughts on the youngster coming from Puebla?
Take it away, Jay.
If I'm not mistaken, Kristen mentioned earlier he was named the best left back of the entire season. That's really good. That's a good thing to hear. As soon as he arrived at America, he made it to the semifinals with Puebla. He was a key player in that Puebla side that happened to take them all the way to the final in that back four. He's a left back. That's one. He could actually play as a left midfielder and left winger if needed. So if you don't want Lainez for some reason running up there, you could take Chavarrez. But it's good things. He's got promise. He could be our backup, which I don't think that's going to be the case. If he's definitely going to be starting over Fuentes in this case, but it's good to hear. I think he's ready for it. Fuentes, while good defensively, for me, in my opinion, it's just the age isn't the issue. It's just the pace, because you've seen time and time again, if there's a winger that can run faster than Fuentes, which is almost every winger in this league, even some youngster at that point, that's red flags at that point. You just hope that God that he doesn't make Fuentes dance. But Chava Reyes, very good signing for America. A much needed one in this case, because we are looking to upgrade our defense, and that's a great upgrade in the defense.
All right, ref, I'm going to call for a timeout here. Christian, can you pull up that question?
Can you pull up the question?
Because I think AJ already jumped the gun on this one.
Yeah, for real.
So, as you guys know, we asked for your guys' questions ahead of the podcast, and we were going to do these a little bit later, but unfortunately, AJ jumped the gun a little bit on this one and has stirred up the debate. Over on Twitter, we asked you guys to ask us some questions so we can read them off and answer them here on the podcast. And as always, Chris Rivera, our good friend of the podcast, at Chris96, saying, Chava Reyes, a day one starter, ? I believe we've gotten the answer from AJ. That is a yes. Christian and I, a little bit more on the hesitant side. But Christian, I'll let you go first. Talk to me about your thoughts in regards to this signing, and then maybe answering this question along the way.
Sure. I like the signing. I applaud it. I think it was much needed. There wasn't really a backup for Fuentes, so I'm glad this player came in. Seems like he has a lot of promise, a very good strike from long distance, and overall just a good player. AJ mentioned that he was a key player in that Puebla run that we probably will never see again. But he was definitely fundamental and essential. But I don't know if he's day one starter. I think that we're going to have to see him go through the motions in preseason. I mean, he's going to be there and Fuentes is going to be there. So it's basically up to them. Whoever has the best preseason will start. I just don't think right now at this moment, Solari will prefer Reyes over Fuentes. But listen, anything can happen in this preseason. Just right now, I think for our first game of the season, I think he'll choose Fuentes over Reyes.
Interesting. I like it. I'm kind of on the same boat as you. But that's kind of the same kind of judgmental kind of mentality we came into with Linus. And look at that. He started right off the bat.
He did.
So we don't know exactly what's going on in training, right? We're not there. We can't physically see that. So we can't see if Chava Reyes is kind of, you know, filling the eye of Solari or if he's not. Right? That's their job. They got to go out there and fight for their spot. But I think this is the important thing. Like we mentioned with Miguel Ayun, it's that internal competition. And I wish we would have had this internal competition with, I don't know, maybe the center back partnership. But I mean, at least we're having it on the fullback side of things. which is interesting, right? I think we all knew that we needed a replacement for Fuentes. Whilst as good as he was for us last season, you still felt that he was a key, like a very much weak point in our starting 11, because you knew all you had to do was press that, you know, trigger button, and you just had to run past the guy, and that was it.
Especially in the latter part of the season.
Yeah, yeah. So Chava Reyes was a little bit more of a, okay, you bring him in, you know he's got pace, and you know that he's going to be able to go one-on-one with these wingers. Something maybe Fuentes can't necessarily do. Not to say that Fuentes is a bad fullback, because at that age, you start playing more positioning rather than relying on, you know, just your sheer speed. So we have to wait and see. I think Chava Reyes can learn a lot from Fuentes. I think if he can absorb some of that, come into this and kind of battle it out, I think we could see something interesting happen. But I don't think he's a day one starter just yet. I think that he's got to earn it a little bit. And I think this preseason is going to be important for him to kind of try to cement a spot in the starting 11. And after that, we'll see. But it's not to say that I don't believe, I do believe he's going to be our starting fullback eventually. Will it be later down the road in the season? Maybe next season? We'll have to wait and find out. But Fuentes will surely track back to the bench. And then, of course, Reyes will take that starting 11 spot. When will that be? Only time will tell.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But not a day one starter. I don't know where you're getting this from, Angie.
Man, I mean, we'll see.
I see it. But who knows? Time will only tell.
For real. Time will tell. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all the departures and arrivals.
Those are the arrivals, departures. And now a lot of people furious. We just see hashtag Fuerabaños everywhere. Where I just log in on Twitter and that's all I see. That is all I see.
That a day goes by where I don't see hashtag Fuerabaños.
Like anyway. The Euros were on today. And like you see the worldie that Pogba scored, and right under that is a tweet saying Fuerabaños. I'm like, this has nothing to do with either or. But okay. And let's talk a little bit about that hashtag, gentlemen. How much fault in the transfer window do we give to Baños? I mean, technically, directly, that's his job, right? But what I'm trying to allude to is, is he getting all the funds that he needs? Which he's not. Is he getting as much liberty as we think he has? I don't think he is. And, does he have to kind of stick to some rules and guidelines in order to go find a player? Which I think he is. I don't feel I don't think it's as dry cut as everyone on Twitter is making it out to be. Like, oh, Baños can't sign this player. Baños can't do that. Like, I get it. Maybe he's not as comprehensive as we want him to be. But I don't think he's going out there and saying, you know what, I'm just not going to try to get Vidal because, you know, I don't want to. I think it's more of like, I don't think I can go get Vidal because, one, I don't think I have the money to pay Vidal to come over. I don't have the funds to keep him here for more than 6 months. I just think that Baños is a scapegoat of more things playing factors in the background for America. And I think I've talked to it when we've had our Twitter spaces. I've talked about it on the podcast before. This issue that America is having with transfers extends deeper than just Santiago Baños. You can bring in, I know everyone wants to get rid of Baños and put in Pablo Pardo. I promise you nothing's going to change. Nothing will change in the transfer market if you just swap out presidents. And I'll tell you why. Because Pablo Pardo is going to have to come in. And the guidelines are still going to be the same. The transfer budget is still going to be the same. Might be even lower. And it's just going to be the same circle. Round and round and round and round. What America needs, it's unfortunate, but what America needs is funds. Is money. And we don't have that. And there was a graphic that was brought out. And I got it right here because I thought it was just really interesting. In the sense of how much money we're bringing in, or at least our biggest the biggest people that bring in money for us, which is Televisa, right? Even though, quote unquote, we're not part of Televisa anymore. America was making about 101 million, right? Compare that to Tigres, was making double that, a little bit more than double, with 252.
And the Rayados as well.
And Rayados making 506. And we want to punch way over our belt in this one.
We didn't pay $18 million for Nico Castillo.
We paid about eight or so, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure. No, Hold up. No one in Liga MX can afford to pay an $18 million price tag. Monterrey. That's number one. No, they cannot.
They can afford it. They can afford
it. No, they cannot. I promise you, I will lay down every single dollar I own to anyone. No one in Liga MX can pay an $18 million price tag. No one. No, Chivas did not pay $17 million for
Arangulito. Yo, they got that dough.
Arangulito is not even worth $17 million. Maybe 1.7. Okay, yes, I agree with you there. Not $17 million. And we did not pay $18 for Nico Castillo. I will 100% put that down to the grave. But yes, Ivan, I agree with you. Most of it. Not all of it, but most of it, I agree with you.
And look, I think Chris brings up a pretty important point, right? He's saying the money is there, in my opinion, which I that's the one part I disagree with. But just horrible contracts and negotiation. That's hand flat out. Yes, that has been America's Achilles heels for the past couple of seasons. But it's not to say that we haven't put ourselves in this situation, because I'll tell you where things went wrong. That era where America was spending money like if we just were never going to lose it, like if we were just always going to have money, I'm talking about 08, 09, 10, 11, where you brought in players like a Vizcarrundo. You brought in a player of Vizcarrundo with a pretty good contract, right? You brought in players like El Pocho Insúa. You brought in players like Rolfi Montenegro. You brought in players like Enrique Vera. Like players, yeah, Pepino Cuevas, all the players that now you think about it and you're just like, this is a waste of money. They were terrible. But back then had value to them. And you came in and you spent God knows how much money, terrible contracts, which at one point, sometimes you even had to go and buy out the contract to get even rid of them. And now we're left in the situation. We're thinking like, well, why don't we have as much money? Because mistakes of the past have finally caught up to us. And this transfer window, I know it's still early, but Christian, you know this better than anyone. The rumors of any foreign player leaving have completely died out.
Yes.
Like, not even a whisper.
Not even a whisper.
And I'll tell you why. It's because they're on way too high of a salary, and no one wants to pay it, and they don't want to take a pay cut, and they'd rather write out the contract.
The reported thing for saying $18 million, I'm assuming that's what they mean from the 4 years that we're going to have Castillo, because I think that was the thing that we were paying $5 million per year. His contract is up until four, so it equates to $20 million. I'm assuming that's what the reporters meant. When they're saying $18 million total, that's how much like he's been getting. I could be wrong, but
that's a good guess.
But, yeah, no, just the entire money thing, ooh. It's scary. Go on.
Where I'm leading up to this is that, yes, fuera Baños, right? And we're using that kind of as a unity. But I think we're too quick to just point the fingers at him and not point the fingers at the previous people that were in charge and say, well, now they put us in that situation and no one's been smart enough to get us out of that situation. Not even Baños. I'm not here defending Baños. Don't get that wrong. Don't get it twisted. Don't think I'm just here and be like, no, keep Baños in charge. No. By all means necessary, that man needs to go. Because he hasn't done anything that these previous people have to put us in a better situation. And until someone comes in and does that, could it be Bardo? Who knows? Maybe. I don't know if he's a number guy. Could he be? Who knows? But we need someone that's smart, that not only knows the sport, but also knows the financing of it. I'm looking at you, Christian. And
I can do it.
That can take us out of this hole.
I can definitely do it.
We are out. We are just, we're 9 feet deep in. And we just keep digging further and further. And it's going to get to the point where it's going to be bad. And you're just seeing it right now. We can't get rid of any of our foreigners. And we have more than what? I think we have like 12 foreigners still on the payroll.
I think so.
And that is unacceptable. That America is unable to do anything about it. We proclaim to be the biggest club, and yet our pockets are not looking like the biggest club. I'll tell you that much.
It's also the thing, our pockets are hurting. That means everyone else's pockets are hurting. When you're trying to sell a player like Renato Ibarra with a high salary, only a few teams in Liga MX who can even afford to pay his salary. That's number one. Number two, you try to ship him out to the MLS, but there's not many teams interested in Renato Ibarra like that. You would think there would be, but there really isn't, though. Which is surprising, though, because I think Renato Ibarra would absolutely kill it in the MLS. So the fact that there isn't more MLS teams jumping on this just makes it even harder, because now you can't sell them to the three teams in Liga MX. You can't sell them to the 15 teams in the MLS. What are your options after that? There really isn't much. Keep doing what you're doing, paying 60% of the salary, letting the loan team pay 40%. You still have them on your payroll. That's something that you need to make that number from 60 to zero. And what is it? Two years left.
60%. No, that's ridiculous. And it's such a big contract that you just can't buy it out. We can't afford it. We can't afford to buy him out.
2 years. The thing about this, the owner's lost money. The owner lost a ton of money. He's trying to get it back. He got some of it back. Not to the point where he was before. Like, before he was up here, then he was down here, now he's going to be up here. So that difference is still a big gap. And until he gets back up here, we won't see America with money for a while. I give it about 3 years, maybe, till we're back to that point. But in that 3 years, though, we're going to have to try to be smart with the transfers that come in. Fidalgo, Vinas, hopefully, and pray. And be smart with the exits. Giovanni, Sergio Diaz. And not make stupid contract signings. Alan Medina, Sergio Diaz.
Arturo Vidal, for everyone watching there. Brian, I'm talking to you. Look, I get it. We all want Arturo Vidal, right? But here's my thing. It makes no sense to bring him in.
We have Aquino.
We don't need someone in that position. We have Richard Sanchez.
But no.
Like, I get it. He's flirting with us, right? And it's like, Arturo Vidal. Like, yeah, who doesn't want him, right? But Christian just mentioned it. We need to be smart about these things, because there has to be a projected plan in this institution to be like, look, the goal is to get from here to here financially. So we need to, exert our steps, slowly but surely. It's kind of like a staircase, right? And then Arturo Vidal just plunges you. It makes no sense, right? We need wingers. I haven't heard about a winger in, a month and a half. We need a fullback. I mean, a center back. It's been a good solid month that we haven't heard of a center back either?
No, we don't need center backs. What are you talking about? Let's get our forwards, get the midfields. That's all we ever need. Defenders? Nah, we don't need that. Stick with Bruno and Emma so we can hear the same complaint every single season. Why can't we get defenders? You want to know why? Because we loan them all out. Why? What do you want to do at that point?
I don't know. But
also, here's another thing. You know why Tigres and Monterrey can afford players like this? It's one thing they both have in common, and it helps a lot, whether people think or not. And it started happening when Tigres started getting a little bit more popular, like 2013, 14, you would say, around, they would start getting a little bit more popular. Okay, but from that moment on, even before then, because people don't really know that, even before then, they've always done this. And in Monterrey now, obviously with the new stadium, it's helped a lot. And that's the fans. The fans are literally there for Tigres. 85% full capacity every single freaking home game. Mm-hmm. Monterrey has about 75% every single home game. That helps a lot. America has a capacity of about 87,000. We barely can get 19. What makes you think that we can afford players when we can't even fill up half of our stadium?
And you know what? I think the argument at first was America wasn't just doing good, right? So why are you going to go watch your team if they're not doing good? And that was the original argument, right?
And okay, I understand that. But we started winning. We started getting titles. We started getting players that people want to see. Mm-hmm. And people still don't go.
Now, this is an interesting kind of maybe a little project we can do. But look at the difference between how much a ticket to watch an America game at the Azteca is at comparison to how much a ticket at the Volcan is. And I think you'll see quite the price difference.
Definitely. Right? But
why? Because once America, once Tigres. America,
no, I understand that. But I think that's just bad planning overall.
But this is what I'm trying to get at. Look, that's one thing, right? And if anyone out there knows more than me in what I'm about to say, please correct me. I don't want to come out here and think that I know what I'm about to say 100%. But you look at the economics in Mexico City in comparison to the economics in Monterrey as to what kind of living life is on kind of the, let's put it in the minimum wage essence, right? I think there are people in Monterrey that can make more money, that can go to games rather than Mexico City, that, you know, maybe don't make the same amount, that can go spend it on a ticket at America. And that's maybe something that we have to take into consideration. And I think if you look at the prices over the years, have they increased? Yes. Has, you know, money increased in Mexico City like that? I don't think so. So I think it falls back into like I think it falls back into the club and saying, how can we entice our fans to come back to the stadium and have them pay the prices that we want to pay?
And that's a media fault and a buyer's fault.
Yes. Yes. Don't get me wrong, you know, but I think they're like, well, we got to keep it at this price because if we don't, then, you know, we'll just completely tank and stuff like that. Look, the economics of this is a lot of hit and miss for us because, unfortunately, like I've said before, these numbers aren't generally given out to the public. And if they are, they're a little bit dated.
But the thing is that I don't understand. Throughout the seasons, we've seen on Twitter that the packages that America gives out for the Azteca, you know, 2-for-1 games, 3-for-1 games at a certain price. And to someone...
Which, by the way, those are good.
Those are amazing. But even with those packages, you still don't see a big increase in fans. Which leads me to my next question is America banking more on TV revenue than on in-person attendance? Because to them, they probably think, okay, I can get more eyes on me at 9 o'clock Mexico, 10 o'clock in the US, in the East Coast or whatever, rather than, you know, 5 o'clock in Mexico, 6 o'clock in the US.
I think so. Go ahead, AJ. I had something to advise
also why I think there could potentially be not as many fans as it used to be. Maybe it's not the case. The amount of bars you can see in Mexico City, why go to the Azteca when you can just go to your local bar, have a beer, get some food, watch with a couple of friends, and just watch the game right on there? Don't have to make the trip all the way to the Azteca and just stay your way at that bar right there. That's maybe, I don't know, a couple blocks or a couple minutes away from your place. I don't know. That's something that I discussed with my dad a bit, and I thought to myself, maybe that kind of makes sense. You don't have to make that drive all the way to the stadium.
I think that's a valid argument, AJ. I'm not gonna say it isn't, but you can attest to this, AJ. There is no greater feeling than being at the Azteca and watching a game live.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's amazing. It's wonderful.
So So to that, I'll say this. If you have that opportunity to experience it, why wouldn't you? Right? But I think this is a very complex equation that we may not have all the pieces to, because
we probably don't, right?
Because as much as we want to put some fault on Emilio and Baños and kind of the Azteca ticketing and all that stuff, the fans have a responsibility in this as well, right? I'm not saying go out there and spend your hard-earned cash that you earned the whole week on definitely. One ticket to go
definitely
watch America potentially lose to Puebla. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying, right, there's got to be a middle ground here, right?
There has to be.
Like, I know America works with the Porras, right? They work with them to get tickets to kind of get a good general amount of people in there. I know they do that, and they work with them. But then you get your average Joe fan, who can go this, who can go there, and that's why I say it's a tricky, complicated equation, because it's like. The club owns responsibility. The Azteca owns some responsibility in this, and the fans own responsibility in this as well. It's difficult to point one finger at. I feel like that kind of thing in the office where they're all kind of like pointing fingers at each other and seeing who's going to shoot for. It kind of is a situation like that where it's just kind of like everyone has to play a role in this one. But you're right in saying this and that, Christian. That tickets are a huge, huge part. Of a team's income, and so that America can't get more than 20,000 fans a week, that is very concerning.
As one of the sayings goes, the club is nothing without its fans. In this case,
exactly,
nothing without
exactly.
It.
And don't think these games in the in the U.S. aren't helping America right now, because they're going to sell out. So the fans in the U.S. are doing their part. I understand it's only once a year, and that's why they're going. But at least they're selling out, though.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to sell out every single game, because that's almost near impossible to sell out an $87,000 seater in the Azteca, right? That's kind of almost near impossible to do every 15 days. At least half, my friend. At least half.
You know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm thinking at this point, honestly? You know how NFL does its games in Mexico City at times?
Are we having some technical difficulties there, AJ?
That's on my end?
No, I know it wasn't on your end. I think it was on Christian's end, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just one of my AirPod dots, so I had to say this one my dad too. So
okay,
I
don't know where to go. We always think, how America could just get all that money, considering the amount of fans are here in the United States. Have a Liga MX game in the States at this point. Go to one of those states, fill that thing out, profit. I don't know. It's going to be too much of a travel, but hey, you get money that way.
Like, we could sit here and talk all day about how we can make this club money, right? And I think we've all said it. Just everyone that follows America on Twitter, send them like $5 and we'll be fine. but look, this is going to be an ongoing discussion, right? Alex saying, America gets a great amount of money from the Abonados every year this season, right? That's season ticket holders, mm-hmm. for those of you wondering what that word means.
If you look at that one, I think they're going down every single year. They're decreasing, and people that are renewing, they're just decreasing every single year.
Which, by the way, I'm always tempted to just get it, because I'm like, I wonder if they'll send me all the little cool things.
They will.
I'll never be able to go to a game. But
honestly, it's not that much. And
it's really not.
Okay, look. We're talking for us here at the States rather than people over there, right? That's
right.
Let's not get into that discussion. But I mean,
if we ever want to go to a game, I mean, we can just have a ticket already. We have a ticket already.
Well, we might look into that next season. Maybe we can do some ticket giveaways because of that. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But look, all of this discussion was just for me to say that I think the Fuera Baños thing is a bit too harsh. But then again, the Americanismo is always going to be that, right? It's always going to be that. I just think that we're not seeing the full picture, and we're so quick to kind of find a scapegoat. And unfortunately, Baños has been that person. Not to say that he doesn't deserve to be that person. I'm just saying at times it feels a little bit unfair that we're just pointing fingers, mm-hmm. just willy-nilly at times. But alas, it turned into this whole debacle, and I apologize for those who didn't want to know so much about how bad our team was doing financially. Let's talk a little bit about, well, Christian, I'd say rumors, but is there even anything?
Not really. Right now, it's been a little quiet. It's just the same stuff repeating every single day. It's not really worth mentioning, talking about, just because it's the same thing, and most of it's probably BS anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold off on it. Hopefully next week we have a little bit more news on certain players departing and or arriving. But right now everything's quiet right now. I think people are just trying to, you know, go through the motions of preseason, get through the start of the game, the start of the preseason before we start talking about new players. That's pretty much it, though.
Yeah, and look, I want to remind everyone, the league should be dropping the season schedule within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out on that. We'll let you guys know exactly what's going on with that. We'll, as soon as we get word of it, we'll let you guys know. But the season is right around the corner. I give it about 4 weeks until we start this thing. So
I'm excited. So AJ, yeah. It is a feeling that I haven't felt in a while, that like I'm just counting down the days for America to just come back, because, you know, it's just I just can't wait, man. I want to see my team play again.
Yes, please, of course. I've always said it. America over anything. Always. So that's the case. So season's right around the corner, which means, look, America's got to get something done here soon. Well, then that's a whole different situation.
Season right around the corner, which means that we have the league, but we also have another tournament to play in August.
Right, which is the CONCACAF Champions League. Which here's a question for you guys. K Prince says, who from the pod is going to the CONCACAF Champions League game in Philly? Because I am. Also, who is the player to watch for next season in this team? All right. Well, gentlemen, I leave that question open to the both of you, since you guys are the closest to Philly. Which one of you guys are going to Philadelphia?
We're going to announce this a little bit later, but yes, I will be going to Philly. AJ still to be determined. Unless he made up his mind, he's going.
He's just made up his mind right now.
You guys made up his mind now. You fucking love it, baby. You absolutely love it. So yes, me and AJ will both be there in Philly. We have a lot more details to discuss about that. It'll be our first ever Champions League coverage. So hopefully it's a fun experience. Hopefully we come out with the W, because it is going to be the second leg. So that's something to look forward to. But like I said, though, we still have a whole 2 months before that happens. So hopefully we have more details in the coming weeks. But yes, me and AJ will both be there in Philly.
So if you guys want to get your AJ Henry Martin autograph, make sure you guys go check it out at Philly whenever that game does go through. So excited that these gentlemen are going to be able to go cover a game, and we'll see what happens. Quickly, I feel like we're extending our time here, and you know, this first episode was always going to be, you know, just kind of testing the waters as to how we're doing here, because of course the real action starts on July 4th, as America is going to be taking on. Remind me, who is it again, AJ? Is Santos. It Atlas it's or be Santos?
It's okay, be Santos Laguna.
Santos. Atlas is the one in San Jose. Santos Laguna, of course, that game's coming up on Sunday, July 4th. So happy Independence Day for all of us. And America is going to be taking on Santos Laguna in what hopefully should be a pretty entertaining game. I think Solari is going to try a couple of things here, which might be a little bit interesting. I know, I'm excited too. I want to see what these players are capable of doing.
We got to think that these are the players that are going to start the season off for the first 3 or 4 games.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. And as I was also going to say that we're going to be missing a couple of players because of international duty, right? Guillermo Ochoa, Henry Martin, George Sanchez, Sebastian Cordoba, all out with the Olympic squad, as they'll be on their way to Tokyo sometime within the next couple of weeks to go fly out there and start the Olympic gold medal
run.
There you go. That's the word I was looking for. So, of course, that's a lot of players. You just mentioned four starters.
That's four starters.
That's four starters who are out. So, yeah, I mean, some of these players have a possibility of knocking these guys out of the starting 11 if they do good, right? So I'm looking at Viñas.
Looking at Viñas.
I'm looking at Layún. He's going to have to be a starter in that right back.
Yeah, there you go. Layún's going to have to be a starter.
So, you know, and I think we won't miss Córdoba as much because Fidalgo's been playing in that position. Jiménez is going to hopefully try to play for a contract for another team for these next couple of games. And then who else did I mention? I think that's it, right? Yeah, those are the four players.
Yep. And Ochoa, but I don't think Jiménez or Tapia can bring down Ochoa.
Definitely.
We all know how Ivan feels about Tapia here.
Tapia will beat out Jiménez. Don't worry, he'll beat out Ochoita Jr. He'll do it. He'll beat him out.
Look, man, that kid does not fill me with any confidence whatsoever at all. Jesus.
Anyone that's not Ochoa and goal will never make you feel happy.
No, I'm okay with Jiménez playing.
I'm okay with Jiménez.
Yeah, yeah. At one point, I really thought Navarrete was going to be like our goalkeeper for a while. There were some times where he made some pretty good saves. I was like, man, this guy might be the real deal.
Oh, no.
And then like 30 minutes later, he conceded a goal. And I was like, what happened?
Throwing back to the season, we didn't have Ochoa. That was like the worst season. He was our starting goalkeeper, wasn't he? He was our goalkeeper, right? During those matches or...
Well, yeah, when Ochoa left to Hatzio, Navarrete got the go. And, well, you guys know how that ended. Yeah. like we mentioned, interesting stuff going on here in the preseason. We'll keep an eye out. We'll be live tweeting this game, of course, for you guys. Should be broadcasted on Through the NA. For those of you that are lucky enough to go out there in Salt Lake City, let us know. Share with us your photos. Share with us some videos. We'd love to be able to post that on our social media. And, of course, we give you guys full credit. And by the way, just kind of wanted to give an update that potentially there might be two Eagle Eye Podcast boys in San Antonio for the upcoming friendly match against Tigres, which is going to be an interesting one. We're going to be previewing it here on the podcast. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. The return of Miguel Herrera against his former club.
Oh, boy.
And should be interesting. Also, by the way, if you guys haven't already gotten tired of this blue jersey that is constantly being thrown at you by America to go by, well, get ready because that is all they're going to be wearing for this preseason. It is nothing but that blue jersey. And we won't get the home kit probably like 3 days before the start of the season, which is usually how it goes. Why do they do that? I have no idea. But we'll see what happens. But all right, gentlemen, anything else that we've missed?
I think we might have covered everything. To my knowledge.
Yep. Obviously, a lot more is going to be unfolding throughout this couple of weeks. Obviously, right now, all the buzz is international football, right? What happened with Mexico and the upcoming Gold Cup, everything going on in the Euros. Stuff tends to die down for Liga MX, but don't worry. Like I mentioned, the start of the season is like right around the corner, so it's going to start boiling up anytime soon. Christian's going to keep you guys up to date, and so will we. So make sure you guys follow us over on Instagram, at Eagle Eye Podcast, and as well as Instagram and Facebook as well. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in and around there. All right. Well, before we kind of wrap things up, gentlemen, let's just kind of go through the other questions that we got over on Twitter, read them, answer them, and then we'll kind of sign off. So, Christian, if you would be so kind as to pull up the next question.
I mean, we'll just put this one because we kind of talked about it already.
Okay, yeah, perfect. And I was actually thinking about that when we were having our little debate. Is America struggling to sell foreigners because of bad contracts or because they overvalue players who haven't done anything to have a high price tag? Which, by the way, great question by Chris Rivera. I think it's a mixture of both, right? I think it's America desperately having to buy players at such a high value because we are America. Right? I think I've talked about this before. It's a little bit unfair. Yeah. Right, yeah. The price tag that we, the taxation that we get because we are who we are, as comparison to other clubs. But at the same time, you gotta be smart. And America paying the amount of money that we've paid with kind of the years and all that stuff. You know, it's just bad contracting. Also, I think we can also add a little bit of bad luck in there. because who thought the Renato Ibarra situation was going to happen whenever we signed him on, you know? No. And it's like, okay, that was on us.
And who thought Nico Castillo was going to get a life-threatening injury?
Thrombosis, exactly. Yeah, blood clot.
Exactly, right? The Gio one, yeah, you can make an argument. Like, why would you pay so much money for someone who wasn't even playing in the Galaxy? But,
right.
It, you know, so, some of these other contracts have been just due to bad luck.
Bad luck. I mean,
it's, I still think that Jeremy Menez was a terrible contract, by the way. I don't know why we brought him in, but, you know, it is what it is. The Roger one, too. We paid such a high price for him. I don't know why. No, like what he's making.
Like, oh, what he's making? Yeah,
probably. I don't think he had that track record to be like, yeah, let's pay him this much money. That is a great one. Chris Bear saying buying out the Ibarwin contract. That's also a good one. Well, I don't know why we make the decisions that we make, right? I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But thank you, Chris, for the question again.
You know what? We'll just keep it on Chris. Last question.
Last question saying, which player do you see us sending to the All-Star game? Question mark. Players with national teams aren't eligible. Well, that is an interesting one.
Right.
Because.
I say we send none.
Let's send none. Well, will we even be eligible to send anyone? Because let's think about it. Our best players would be, quote unquote, with their national team.
And then
right? let's say everyone picks up form, right? Let's say everyone picks up form and they're doing good. Ochoa gets called up to the national team. George gets called up to the national team. Bruno gets called up to the national team. Aquino gets called up to his national team. Richard gets called up to his national team. Roger gets called up to his national team. And
Henry
gets called up to the national team. So now you're thinking, well, do we send Fidalgo? Do we send Leo Suarez? Do we send... God, I don't even know why I put Leo Suarez on there. Chava Reyes, Luis Fuentes, Miguel Ayun.
I think the right now is Fidalgo or Aquino.
But I think Aquino gets called up by Peru. The only reason why Aquino isn't in the Copa America is because he had an injury.
It was an injury, that's what I'm saying.
That is the only reason.
Right, but he's not with them right now, so he's eligible to get called up for the All-Star
game. Well, remember, the All-Star game is in August. There's an international break in there, no? That's why they wouldn't be eligible.
Because
it's in August. It's
just be Fidalgo then.
Right?
Just Fidalgo.
Or Vinas, if he's picked up form. Okay. Like Septal.
I say we said none. Keep them all in America, no injuries. I'm fine with it. Let fucking Gignac and MLS battle out. I'm okay with that. I'm fine.
I feel like it'd be nice just to see like at least like one player from like each team represent in the Liga
MX. All right, so San Fernando Tapia then, if you insist.
Oh hell yeah. Let's go. Yo, put my boy Chocho Lopez in. Represent Guatemala right there. Represent. There you go.
We'll send him. But you know what? We could just save the trouble. We'll just send Dylan. Dylan can represent.
Let's go.
No, Dylan can go. Exactly.
But yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing when the All-Star comes around. Just keep your eyes out on that, and we'll let you guys know what happens. I think Fidalgo might be the only player that we send. I don't want to.
But, August 14th.
Yep.
August 14th.
Okay, good old CONCACAF.
Which 2 weeks later is the
All-Star game?
Is the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff going on there. Do we have... Yes, this is the question I've been looking for. Jerry SVN saying, what is the biggest lie you've told yourself over the last 2 years? And why is it thinking Giovanni Dos Santos was going to regain his form with America? Great question. Amazing one. When I read it, I started laughing and I was like, this guy is onto something.
This guy gets it.
Yeah, this guy gets it. AJ, why is that the biggest lie you've told yourself in the past 2 years?
I have no clue. You think of that Firmino Gio, that goal where he just absolutely ended those defenders in the United States national team and Chip Ortega, you're thinking, yeah, he's going to replicate that. Stop. We put the clown, we put the entire clown makeup on at that point, thinking, yeah, he's going to be it. That was a complete lie. We had too much confidence. Like me, when I kept saying 3-0s left and right, I'm just like, it's probably never going to happen on this one, Nadi. It's never going to happen. He did get a couple times, but...
Christian?
I never really bought into the hype like that. I did think that he was going to do better than what he did. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it just didn't seem like he was all that invested in it. You hear reporters and people say, yeah, he's training hard. He's going to be back in the form. He's giving a little bit more time. He never did. He never did. And it's a little bit of a shame because, like you said, Ivan, you think about his father and what he did, things with America, you would think that, okay, Gio does a good form, convinces his brother to come, and then we get both of them in good form. We never really got to, like, that point where that was going to be possible. I just really wish we saw a little bit more from him than what we got.
Well, look, to answer Jerry's question here, it's kind of like what you mentioned, right? It was, for me, the reason why I believe this lie so much was because that I thought there was history in that bloodline. You come into this, you understand that you grew up with that culture, you know kind of what's expected from you. And he came in saying the right things, and you thought, you know, yeah, this might just be like AJ said, you know, you think about the goals he scored in the Mexican national team, you know, you remember what Cuauhtemoc Blanco said about him, and all of that kind of gets played and thrown in your head, and you start thinking like, yeah, this might be it. He might just be the one. And then 2 years later, you're looking at yourself with like that Joker makeup on you, and you're just like, you're just like, this wasn't the one. So yeah, no, it's the biggest lie we've told ourselves in the past 2 years. And fortunately, it was a very expensive lie, by the way. But fortunately now, the bill's been paid, and we can start telling ourselves new lies from here on out.
Well, Chris got one here in the comment, if you could pull that one out, the most recent one. Yeah, he blew my cover right there.
AJ's biggest lie was thinking Chucho Lopez would score in several games, to be honest.
Man! The best thing he ever had happen in last season was that sexy assist that he gave to Richard Sanchez. Don't call me sales a shot. That was not a shot. He set himself, I'm going to make this sexy pass. No, it was not. Stop. Don't play yourselves.
All right. Well, last question here. It's coming from our good friend Miggy here. Seeing we won't be getting any help on the wings, which I think might be true, do you think Solari possibly switches to a 4-2-3-1 with Cordoba and Fidalgo playing kind of the free roam behind the strikers, Aquino, Richard, and Naveda in the midfield? What do you gentlemen think about that? I'm just going to answer shortly. I don't like it. I don't think it works.
I don't think it works either. I don't think Cordoba and Fidalgo can play in that role together. I think they bump heads a lot. I think that it just caused a lot of confusion. Also, I think Solari is very fond of having wingers like Linus. I think he's trying to find another person like Linus. I think that for some odd reason, he seems to have a good connection with Leo Suarez. Could be just because of the same nationality, I'm not too sure. But it seems like he just likes him. He likes the play. He likes what he brings. I don't know what he brings. You know, besides bangers, you know, from 40 yards out. But besides that, then, you know, doesn't really bring much. But I don't think he shies away from the wingers. And this formation we probably won't see. Maybe that's a kind of like a preseason formation. But other than that, though, actually going into a actual league game, I don't think we'll see it anytime soon.
And it's unfortunate that Cordoba isn't here for preseason, because then we could have tested this theory out. But since he's not, no need to play that formation. Right. I like what AP Jr. is saying here. He's like, I feel like a 4-4-2 is America's best formation, in my opinion, which I think it is. But then you cancel out Fidalgo. And arguably, Fidalgo might be the best player we have on the pitch. So you can't really play that formation, because it wouldn't suit Fidalgo whatsoever. I mean, unless you want to put him as a false nine. But even then, that's just that just doesn't seem like it would work, you know? We'll see, though. We'll see.
We'll see.
That's
pretty much it.
That's it. That's all the questions. Thank you again to everyone that submitted your questions. We might do this throughout the preseason, so you guys can get your questions in, and we'll answer them on here gratefully. We love to interact with you guys, whether it's people right here on the live chat or whether it's people that unfortunately can't listen to the live chat, and we'll have to wait and see. Got a thumbs up by none other than Club America.
I mean, I would. I wish that was the real one. Bang.
Imagine.
It was a bait. It's all a lie.
But well, hey, thank you.
We're gonna count that as a W in our book. Okay, so
that's a W.
That's a W in our book.
But again, thank you to everyone that's interacted with us today. Whether it be on Twitter, whether it be here, we're looking for more of that for this season. I think that's something that me and the boys talked about in our meeting before the start of the season, was that we kind of want to incorporate you guys more onto the podcast, more stuff on Twitter, more stuff, whether it be Instagram, Facebook. We want to find a way to kind of, you know, be able to be part of the community and give back to the community. It's something that I didn't mention to them, but
breaking news. You heard it here first from the official account itself.
Vidal is not coming. But yeah, you know, we want to find a way to get back to you guys, incorporate back to you guys. And so we'll plan on doing some events more. I know one time we did a viewing party that went pretty well, and maybe we could do something like that more, whether it be here in LA, whether it be down in Texas, or whether it may be over there in New York. We'll find a way. But we do want to be able to give more back to you guys. We want to interact more with you guys, and we want to make you guys more involved in this. Whether you're listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or whether you're tuning in and week out, we want to find a way to accommodate all of you, and we hope that with what we have planned for this upcoming season, we're able to do that. So again, thank you to everyone for your time for this hour and 21 plus show. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out. It's been great. Monday nights, we tested the waters, and I think it went well, and I think it's our new time.
Definitely. I think I enjoy it. I think, you know, we have a lot of more interaction here, so it's definitely gonna be a fun experience.
Hey, if the club Club America can come out on a Monday night, then you're doing things right.
Definitely.
All right, then. Well, you guys have a wonderful night. You guys, we'll be back next week to talk all things Club America, and don't forget to use the discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. Again, as today episode is brought to you guys by Foot Cult, which, by the way, AJ, show the beautiful people what they missed out on. Look at this. Look at this jersey. If you guys didn't get it, I am ashamed at all of you guys, okay? Just ashamed. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Looks like we're competing with WWE Monday Night Raw, so we'll see what happens there. But I think we'll be fine. People want to tune in and see AJ's beautiful face.
Exactly.
Alrighty then. Alright, you guys have a wonderful night. We'll be back next week on Monday to talk all things America. We'll be recapping what happened against Santos in Salt Lake City. We'll be previewing the game up ahead against Tigres in San Antonio. And we might talk a little bit about the game in San Jose against Atlas on Wednesday. So, again, with that said, we'll be back next week. Hope you guys have a wonderful time. You guys take care. Continue to wear your masks, as we're still not through this whole pandemic. But the light is at the end of the tunnel. All right, then. You guys have a wonderful time. See you guys soon. Until next time, take care. And as always, Viva America.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.